There is so much fake revival being ballyhooed these days. Just a couple of weeks ago, people were saying that we were in the Charlie Kirk revival, and it was, according to some, the beginning of the Third Great Awakening. Trump, he recently said that as president, he has caused an uptick in religion. I have Facebook friends that praise Trump on a daily basis, saying he's spreading Jesus all over the nation and peace all over the world. So I think my hesitancy towards a word on outpouring that God was trying to give me was because I had become so resistant to streams of deception. I'm so disheartened at how the word revival has been cheapened and obliterated. Revival has been my passion since the 80s, when I first learned about it in a book about Azusa Street. But here recently, I had unknowingly developed a downcast heart. I was the slightest bit jaded or weary or bitter or forlorn or distrustful in anything that resembled the faux moves. So I have been wrestling with God for about 3 weeks now. And finally, I have surrendered to what he was trying to show me and trying to speak to me. Like a young Samuel, who God had to repeatedly speak his name before Samuel eventually appropriately answered the voice. I have not been quickly answering these messages and signs God has been giving me. I didn't want to errantly get my hopes up. I didn't want to believe a lie. I didn't want to be tricked by a delusion. But now I have answered the call. I have heard his voice. I have felt his heart. My eyes have been opened, and I know that God is sending rain. God is more merciful than I realized. God has more to pour than what we can hold. I kept running from this word. It was like I was putting my fingers in my ears so I couldn't hear it, or like I was holding my hands over my eyes so they wouldn't really see what God kept trying to show me. Eventually, I told God, "I don't feel this word that you're giving me. But if you're really trying to show me this, and if you're really trying to speak to me about this, I'll surrender and just accept whatever it is you're trying to communicate." And that is when my eyes started to open, and I finally started to feel God's heart on this. See, here's where I was at. I didn't know it, but as a watchman, my vision had become downcast. And similar to how our natural eyes diminish, you know, the vision will diminish, it will age as our body ages. And our eyes get weaker and our vision becomes less. So my spiritual eyes were getting like that. My spiritual vision was becoming diminished. And I didn't realize it, but I was still seeing. I could still see. I still had spiritual vision, but I had become limited to like a second heaven height. My vision was, in essence, like the servant of Elisha the prophet. Now, he could see, and I would even argue that he had spiritual vision, because he could discern the enemy's tactics. He could see the trouble at hand and was aware of, you know, the devices. But when he reported that to Elisha the prophet, Elisha just sort of halted him and said, "Wait, just right there a second." And Elisha prayed over him that his eyes would be open. And when he did that, then the servant went back out, and now he didn't see the trouble. Now he didn't see the problem. Now he didn't see what the enemy was up to. Now he didn't see the bad. Guys, in the past, I have said about revival. I have said about, I guess more specifically, I have said about the last days, that it's like a coin. And a coin has two sides, heads and tails. And here I have been stuck on the tails. I've been stuck on the bottom, seeing the tails side of the story. And God is now wanting me to flip the coin back over and see that there's more to see, you know? I was just seeing one side of the coin, and God opened my eyes, and now I wasn't seeing the trouble. I wasn't seeing the enemy. I wasn't seeing that aspect because my eyes had been opened beyond, above. Listen, God is called in Scripture. One of the things that God is called is the glory and the lifter up of our heads. So God began to lift up my head, and lifting up our head, what it does is also it lifts our vision. Now we're seeing differently. Our horizon has changed. So for me, that happened, and I was healed in my spiritual vision, and I began to see what God wanted me to see. I began to see like He sees. We pray that sometimes. God, let me see what You see. Let me feel what You feel. Maybe I had that kind of heart, but I was not seeing what God sees. And He had to work on me. And I wrestled around with the Lord and was resistant and hesitant to yield to what I knew He was trying to speak. I knew what He was trying to show, but I was not really wanting to lend myself to accepting, absorbing, and taking in that word. And when I finally surrendered and said, God, if You're really wanting to talk to me about this, if You're really wanting to show me some things, I don't feel it. That's what I told God. I said, I don't feel this. But if this is what You want to talk about, I'm here for it. And guys, it was in that moment that my eyes were healed and I began to see differently. And my heart was healed and I began to feel His heart for what's about to happen. And I want to take a second and pray for your eyes, your ears, and your heart. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that You get their hopes up. Let them come in alignment with Your heart, Your will, Your plan, Your promises. Because just today, You have been speaking to me from 2 Corinthians where it says, the promises of God are yes and amen. You haven't changed Your mind. You still have promises. You still have work to do. There's still things You said You were going to do. And You're still saying yes. You're still saying amen. You're in agreement with what You have promised. You're going to do it. So I pray that our eyes see. I pray that our ears hear. And I pray that we would get Your heart on this. So the word that God has been giving me to say, even though I just submit to You that I'm not really qualified or the best person to speak it. I just submit and surrender to You that, hey, I've been a knucklehead. I've been a little bit callous. I've been a little bit bitter. I've been a little bit resistant. But the Lord has seized my heart. He's got hold of me and He's helped me to see. And now this is what I see. I feel like God is calling me to prophesy rain. So three things I prophesy specifically. One, I prophesy outpouring. I prophesy the mercies of God. And I prophesy flood. Allow me just to take a little bit of breaking down of these three prophecies. I prophesy outpouring. This is in accordance with Joel 2. He says, I'm going to give you the rain. In Deuteronomy 11, He says, I'm going to pour out for you the rain. Guys, what God said He was going to do, He's going to do. The promises of God are yes and amen. Number two, I prophesy the mercies of God. They're going to break out and reach beyond what we may have thought that they would do, what God could do. I didn't see God as merciful as what He really is. I didn't see the grace of God as amazing as it is. But this is what the Lord is wanting me to do. He's wanting me to prophesy the mercies of God. Listen, they're new every morning. So let's allow the new mercies to come. I prophesy the mercies of God are coming. In Nehemiah verse 17, it says, "You are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And you did not forsake them." So let us begin to accept and embrace the God that we see in the book of Hosea, who is married to the backslider. Let us see God as a God of love, maybe like we see Him in the book of Song of Songs, that passion, that intimacy, that love and longing for a bride. That's our God. And number three, I prophesy flood, an overflowing, a too much. I prophesy this is a good thing. God is bringing a good thing. He's bringing too much of a good thing. He's bringing so much Holy Ghost outpouring, specifically to some ministries who possess the following characteristics. Number one, they're already in His will. They're appreciating and practicing Matthew 5 through 7, which is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount teachings. Number two, they're walking in alignment with His heart. They're tending to the Isaiah 58 fast, and they're doing Micah 6, 8. They're following His ways. I think that's humility. It's the narrow way. It's the cross as a lifestyle. Number four, like Zechariah 10, 1, that says to ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain, these people are already actively praying for God to move, for God to save people, for God to heal people, for God to deliver people, for God to break out. I prophesy flood. And by that, what I mean is overflowing blessings. Like as that mentioned in Malachi 3:10, he says, "I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even hold it all." I also prophesy the flood, and it means deep waters, like those you see in Ezekiel 47. Not just the ankle deep, the knee deep, the waist deep. It's the progression. When the rains come, the waters get higher or deeper. I prophesy things are going to get deeper. I prophesy we're going to get into the more. No matter what you've seen, no matter what you've heard, no matter what you felt, no matter how much you know about God, there is more. So we're going to get to the more of God. Now the outpouring, I believe, is going to be nationally and internationally. Now that's in America and outside America. It will coincide with last day's events. I believe the last days are like a coin. There's a good and a bad. There's a heads and a tails. And we're going to see stuff continuing to happen even as an Antichrist continues to emerge. And a few places in this outpouring that will be larger spouts of outpouring. But simultaneously, there will be many other places that will experience dynamic outpouring, even though they're in a lesser known, lesser populated, or whatever reason, they're lesser broadcasted than other places. Here is the thing. Holy Spirit is emphasizing to me that God is really, really, really interested in a harvest. And the promise of rain, it's all about a harvest. At the same time, I think it's important to say this move will be pure. There's going to be such a purity about this move. And an inflection or a stressing of this word pure. It's going to be like He wants us to be pure, and He's going to help us to become pure. God will reveal Himself as pure. This move will be pure. So much about this word pure, I feel like it's wanting to bleed through to us. Also, this move will be separate from high places and political focuses. It's going to sanctify us from so much that's been faulty with some of our revival, some of our moves, some of our what we would even think is outpourings. God's going to separate us and sanctify us from some of the faulty, some of the weaker, some of the tainted stuff. This move will not be birthed by big names, oversized personalities, or major ministries. However, a few rich, celebrity, famous influencers, I think, are going to embrace the conviction and have repentance and take on humility, and they in turn will be wholly accepted into the river of this outpouring of love and sanctification, of this beautiful, unique move of God. Now, lastly, I feel Holy Spirit is revealing to me that there are other watchmen that he's been trying to give this same prophetic revelation, but they have been like me. They refused to see it. They refused to share it. And their eyes were downcast. So I just pray again for these people that are having a hard time seeing it, having a hard time buying into it. They just can't readily feel it. I pray that God would get it through to us, that we wouldn't miss it. As Jesus is passing by, don't let us miss it. Let us be more like Bartimaeus. Let us have a hunger and a desire, realizing we need something. And we're not going to be quiet. We're going to call out to the Lord. We're not going to miss him in the day of visitation. So I want to give you that there in this me finishing up what I'm saying here. Here are some of the scriptures that I mentioned earlier in the prophecy and that were referred to, but I didn't fully quote them. And I'm not going to fully quote Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. I did mention those whole chapters, but I'm not going to list them out here. I'm not going to list out the whole book of Hosea or the whole book of Song of Songs. Although a personal reading of those would be a good follow-up response if you choose to fully engulf yourself in this prophetic word. Anyway, here's some of these verses. Joel 2:17 says, "Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. And why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?' Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people." Shortly after that, in verse 23, says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Deuteronomy 11, verse 13, "And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul," verse 14, "he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, because the rain is about the harvest." Micah 6:8, "He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Lord, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.